So today I'm presenting to you results from my research as a master's student at the School of Public Health at Berkeley. This is my master's thesis. I have no financial conflicts to declare. And rather than go over what I'm going to talk about, I'll just start talking. So as we all know, intimate partner violence is the most common form of violence experienced by women all over the world, and this is equally true for India. Research has shown that IPV has serious health consequences for women, their children, their families, and their communities. And importantly, attitudes and social norms which condone violence have been consistently identified among the risk factors for IPV. And this connection kind of gives us a little hint that potentially mass media consumption might have a link for intervening for violence. So there are a few epidemiological studies that actually study the effects of media on IPV. We don't actually know a lot yet about the effects of, about the role of media in IPV. But media campaigns have shown to bring about changes in attitudes and behaviors towards a range of health-related behaviors, including IPV. And here you see an example from a recent Abused Goddesses campaign that happened in India and incited a lot of strong responses from critics and supporters alike. But overall, less is known about the impact of mass media consumption, the media that we consume every day through television, through radio. In the last couple of years, a few studies have empirically linked popular media exposure with health-related behaviors and outcomes. So in rural India, Jensen and Oster found that village-level advent of cable television led to positive changes in both gender-based attitudes and increases in female autonomy. And in Brazil, two separate studies from Ferrara, Chung, and colleagues found that regional soap opera availability was linked to lower fertility rates and higher divorce rates. And both of these sets of researchers thought that it was the representation of independent women in urban-generated, you know, television that kind of led to these changes in attitudes. So these studies provide some evidence that exposure to unplanned messages in popular media can profoundly change individual attitudes and behaviors. So which leads me to why this study? Overall, I think there's a dearth of studies looking at impact on general media exposure, and none of which look at intimate partner violence specifically. Second, much of the research on IPV focuses on risk factors for women, and there's very limited research on predictors of IPV perpetration for men. And that, I think, is something that really needs to be addressed in the field. And lastly, individual-level risk factors such as education or women's autonomy are kind of difficult to mitigate. It might be easier to look at contextual characteristics such as neighborhood media access that are more amenable to intervention. The study uses a multi-level framework to identify the independent associations of individual and community-level media exposures with both justification and perpetration of intimate partner violence. Two specific hypotheses are being tested here. First, that both individual and neighborhood media are independently associated with the outcomes. And second, that the relationships between media and IPV outcomes differ by urban and rural residents, because most media is generated in cities, that there would be different responses to the images projected based on where you're actually consuming the media. So I'm testing for like a statistically significant interaction between area of residence and the outcomes. The study uses data from the most recent round of the National Family Health Survey in India. The NFHS-3 is part of the Demographic and Health Surveys for India. It's a household survey, and it's representative at the national and state levels, and it uses a stratified multi-stage cluster design. This data set was especially attractive for this study because of first, the extremely large sample size, but it, for the first time, it also included responses from men. It's generally only collected for women, or until this point it was. starting with an initial potential study sample of 39,257 matched couples within the data sets, the study restrictions resulted in a final sample of 20,478 married men. Justification of intimate partner violence was constructed from the respondent's report of at least one of these seven situations where he believed that a husband was justified in beating his wife. But because of the potential for putting women at risk for further violence, the men were not asked questions about perpetration of violence. So IPV perpetration in the study is determined from wives' responses. That's why we use the matched couples, and that way we could kind of get the women's responses to understand men's behaviors. And in particular, men's physical violence toward their wife was constructed from their wife's report of ever experiencing at least one of seven different physically violent behaviors. As you can see, both IPV outcomes were widely prevalent in the study sample. More than half of respondents reported at least one situation where a husband was justified in beating his wife, and a little more than a third had been reportedly physically violent toward their wife. The data set allowed us to look at four different types of media exposures: print, radio, television, and cinema. For the individual media exposures, the respondents were asked about their frequency about the frequency with which they consumed each of these types of media. And the neighborhood media consumption was aggregated from these individual responses. It was measured as a percentage of respondents in the primary sampling unit who reported a moderate level of individual level exposure for each of the media forms. This slide kind of gives you an idea of just what the distributions of the media exposures look like. There was a good deal of variability in the media exposures that the respondents reported. Television exposure was the most common, with approximately 44% reporting that they watched TV almost daily. And on the other hand, cinema was the least common form of media exposure. Only 15% of respondents reported going out to the cinema or theater hall at least once a month. Community media consumption patterns were similar to individual ones in that community television consumption showed the highest mean consumption, while community cinema consumption showed the lowest. The statistical analysis used a multi-level logistic regression modeling using GEE, or generalized estimation equations. Several covariates were included in the models based on either evidence in the literature that they were linked with the outcomes, or researcher hypothesis that they potentially could be based on the dynamics of intimate partner violence. Three separate sets of models were constructed for each IPV outcome. And the first one was just the individual media exposures. The second one looked at only the community level consumption. And the third one, the multi-level ones, included both of them so that they controlled for each other and you could get the independent effects of each. And today I'm only going to present the multi-level models. And these slides are going to have a lot of data in them. So I am going to suggest that you look at only the red highlighted statistically significant results as we go through them. So and where there was a statistically significant interaction for place of residence, you see the results kind of stratified by urban versus rural. So in this slide, looking at the relationships between IPV justification and individual media exposures, you can see that compared to no exposure, one level of print exposure, one level of radio exposure, and two levels of urban television exposure are significantly associated with IPV justification. These variables are all inversely associated with the outcome and thus reduce the odds for reporting violence justification. Only one level of radio exposure in rural areas showed a positive association with IPV perpetration, but just barely. The lower end of the confidence interval for that one statistically significant category was at 1.01. So I think overall, when you look at the trend, you can say that there wasn't really a relationship between individual media exposures and IPV perpetration. So those are the results for the individual media exposures. Now I'll try and present the results for the community media consumption. So in contrast to the individual exposures, all forms of community media consumption remain significant for IPV justification in the multi-level models. So here you can see that community print and radio consumption are inversely associated with justification, whereas television and cinema increase the odds for justification. And television consumption in rural areas was not significant for IPV justification. For perpetration, there are fewer types of media that end up showing significant relationships, but they're still more so than for individual level media exposures. So in the final models, community print media consumption was associated with an increased perpetration of IPV. And television in rural areas and cinema showed a protective effect for violence perpetration. So that's it. That's all of the results. That was just a lot of numbers thrown at you. But I get confused trying to sift through them myself, so I can completely understand if you totally didn't follow. So I'm going to give you the key takeaways here for what I think the study really shows. So first and foremost, depending on the context and type, media can either diminish or amplify IPV outcomes. This is contrary to normative beliefs and most of the literature on mass media, and most of it comes from the fields of experiment psychology or media content analysis, and not a lot from EPI, as I said before. And moreover, we did find that there was an interaction with place of residence of urban versus rural for some of the forms of media. Two, community media consumption shows stronger relationships with IPV outcomes than the individual exposures. So in those multiple models that we created, in the model that was just individual media exposures, they were all significant for both outcomes, for IPV perpetration and for justification. But after controlling for the community level variables, they all kind of dropped out of the equation. And three, community media consumption variables were significant, that were significant for both justification and perpetration actually had divergent relationships with them, with each. So for example, print media consumption decreased IPV justification but increased perpetration. And cinema seemed to increase justification but decrease perpetration. Now, what does that really tell you? I think it suggests that the relationships between media and violence perpetration are not mediated through justification as you would think logically. And that was a really surprising finding. And so I did a separate analysis that actually tested for mediation, and that it's a whole other set of data that I didn't want to throw at you. But it kind of confirmed that in this particular data set, the relationship between media consumption and violence perpetration doesn't seem to be mediated through justification of violence. There are, of course, limitations to the study, as with any other study. It's a cross-sectional study, so I really can't draw any causal links between media consumption and IPV outcomes. Because all measures are self-reported, there is, of course, potential for bias in the responses. But most importantly, the study sample with the restrictions resulted in a very distinct population. It was more urban, it was wealthier, among other things, than the overall population. And so that limits the generalizability of this data for India overall. I feel like this is just merely a beginning. There's so much to understand about relationships between media and IPV. So in order to truly understand how media influences violence outcomes, future studies need to consider not only the amount and type of media consumed, but also the content. I feel like mixed methods types of studies are really appropriate for really teasing out these relationships. Also, there's evidence in the literature that the relationship between media exposure and behavior change is mediated through interpersonal communication, about whether people talk about what they've seen or what they've read or what they've heard. And so further future studies need to also kind of assess media related interpersonal communication. Beyond that, I think it's important to investigate IPV justification as a mediator between other known risk factors and violence perpetration. I found it a really surprising finding that in this study, justification did not show up as a mediator for the relationship between media and violence perpetration. And so I think more research is needed to really understand causal pathways that lead to violence. I think we do a lot of research on kind of finding factors that are associated, but it doesn't give us a whole lot in terms of designing interventions that work for women unless we really understand how they work in a causal way. And lastly, I think future studies should examine community gender norms as a predictor of IPV outcomes. Most studies on IPV look at individual level factors. This is one study that is showing that community level factors seem to have a stronger relationship to IPV than individual. And I think the natural extension of that is to look at social norms and gender norms and how those impact women's experience of violence. I saw a really interesting presentation earlier in the conference on Monday that actually looked at social norms and IPV outcomes in Nigeria, and I feel like more of these studies are necessary. Some final thoughts. I think beyond all of the limitations of the study, I think it has a lot of strengths. It's the first study to look at the relationship between popular media and intimate partner violence. And its multi-level structure allows us to really demonstrate independent relationships between individual level factors and place level factors. This in turn, I think, contributes not only to the literature on risk factors and causal inference for IPV perpetration in men, but also more generally to our knowledge of contextual and place level determinants of health. That's all. Thank you for your attention, and thank you.